So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
The Jets, one of the teams with question marks at quarterback, and what the combine is great for, of course, the rumors and the meetings and the behind closed doors and laying the groundwork and to decipher what the Jets' plans and strategy may be. We bring in Brian Costello from the New York Post. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, Lori. Hey. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure, as always, to connect with you. So I guess the first thing I was interested in was your early impressions of the Jets' new general manager. This was his first one of these NFL Combine press conferences, and you see a lot of the GMs doing these things. What was your impressions from Darren Mooji from this?
Yeah, he didn't have much to say, Lori. My impression as a reporter, he was reluctant to say much about Aaron Rodgers. That was obviously what we wanted to talk about because we had not seen those guys since the decision was made to move on from Aaron Rodgers, but they really didn't offer much in ways of explanation other than, it's the best thing for the team type of stuff. So he really didn't provide us with much of a glimpse into his thinking on many things. He was pretty tight to, pretty close to the vest, I thought.
Yeah, which I actually, from sitting here at this microphone, I might not like that. For doing your job, you might not like that. But if I were a New York Jets fan, I would love the fact that the GM actually gave the usual spiel and didn't give us much news. That really is his job, to play it close to the vest. So I think that's a good thing. What are you hearing in terms of, being out there and talking to teams, and are you getting a sense of this GM in terms of how he's regarded around the league, thought of by colleagues? Any of that backstory come out this week?
From around the league, they're kind of getting to know him more. He's not a very well-known guy around the league. Mm-hmm. He's been kind of in the background in Denver. So, Joe Douglas was a little more of a high-profile hire when the Jets made it. Joe is kind of well-known and had been at three different organizations, was pretty high up in the Eagles when he got hired. So Darren Mooji, I think, was more in the background. So people kind of around the league, like agents and other teams, I think are getting to know him. Talking to people that worked with him in Denver, they have good things to say about him. I've heard he's very smart from a lot of people, ask good questions. He's going to be learning on the job. So that's the question. And the question I got from a lot of people was, why didn't the Jets hire anyone with experience there for either job? We talked about during the whole search, I thought for sure one of the two jobs would be someone who had done it before, either the head coach or the GM, and they went with two first-timers again. So I did hear a lot of skepticism about that, is that, the Jets are back in this thing where they've got two guys who are going to be learning on the job again. But I didn't take that as a criticism of Darren Mooji himself. It was more just the idea of hiring a first-time GM again.
You mentioned the Aaron Rodgers thing, and so you didn't get much from the Jets themselves on this, but as you suss it out in terms of your reporting, do you have a sense of what, it may not have been any ultimatums, but what were there conditions or anything the Jets were interested in hearing about from Aaron Rodgers that he could have done or told them, or was this just Woody Johnson and the team is 100% committed to move on?
Yeah, I don't think he could have done anything, Lori, to come back. I don't think this is Woody Johnson. I really do think this is Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji. I think they kind of came to the conclusion that they had to move on. And, the timelines just don't kind of match up for them. These guys are trying to establish a new program, especially Aaron Glenn is trying to just change. I don't like to use the word culture, but that's what the term everyone uses, just kind of change the mojo in the building. And, he's trying to be, you can tell from him when he speaks to us, he's trying to be the alpha and be a leader. And tough to do that with Aaron Rodgers in the building, Lori. He's a very big presence. He consumes a lot of oxygen, and he's just, you know, it's hard to be the number one guy if Aaron Rodgers is in the building. I think Aaron Glenn wasn't hired because he's some young, great schemer, you know, on defense or offense. Like, he's hired to be a leader. Like, that's why he got this job, is to be a leader and to change things around the Jets. I think it would have been hard for him to establish himself with Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you look, you know, people are now talking about the Giants. The Giants are in a totally different mode with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane where they are. Like, they're fighting for their jobs right now. So that's sort of, they're in the same position Sol and Douglas were when they brought in Rodgers. So it kind of makes more sense. He's talking about him with the Giants. With the Jets, you know, I get it. The guy, whoever the starter is going to be on in September, is not going to be as good a quarterback as Aaron Rodgers. And that's the argument from Jets fans of why they should have kept him. But I do think this is about more than September, more than this season. It's about just kind of changing the whole way the organization operates going forward, and keeping Aaron Rodgers here for another year would have set that back.
For everything you saw from Rodgers and talking to his teammates, then are you saying, if you were the Giants, who clearly are in a desperate situation, a very different situation, do you actually think Aaron Rodgers would be a decent fit with the Giants? And is there, you know, if you were able to give advice to them, is there any advice or cautionary tales or advice you would give to say, yes, but?
Yeah, I think he makes more sense for them, honestly, than a rookie quarterback right now, because a rookie quarterback, I think the chances of winning with Aaron Rodgers are much greater than winning with a rookie quarterback this year. And so we see it all the time, Lori, where teams draft a quarterback high and then the coach gets fired. Not necessarily the GM, but the coach gets fired a lot after they pick, you know, Matt Eberflus is the most recent, right? They take Caleb Williams, he gets fired. Frank Reich takes Bryce Young, he gets fired. You know, Ty Bowles took Sam Darnold, he got fired here. Like, it happens quite a bit. So, from that perspective, if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are sitting around thinking, how can they win the most games this year to save their job? I think Rodgers makes sense. Now, the Giants need some help on the offensive line. They're going to need another receiver. Like, maybe they can get one of these things with the number three pick now. They're going to have to build a team around him. I don't think dropping Aaron Rodgers onto the Giants makes them a playoff team. I think they're not there. So, you know, we saw the Jets won 5 games with him. He's not an instant fix. But, if you know, I do think if you're just going for this year and just you're like, we got to win as many games as we can in 2025, I think he's probably their best option.
Talking to Brian Costello from The Post. And who do you have your eye on when you think about, or which positions, you know, Jets drafting in the top 10, seventh, but they, you know, they don't have a quarterback either, really. And they have Tyrod Taylor as potentially, you know, in that room, but they're, you know, there's Jordan Travis, but their quarterback room is obviously open as well. What do you see the Jets doing with that first pick?
Yeah, I think we'll know the quarterback thing, Lori, a little more in 2 weeks. You know, free agency starts essentially a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, when they can start talking to agents.
Yep.
Do they sign a Justin Fields? Right? Because I think if they sign like a Justin Fields, he's the guy to me, in my mind, that, you know, if you're looking for the next Darnold or you're looking for the next Baker Mayfield, you know, a guy that's going to try to revive his career. Like, that's Justin Fields
Smith,
to me.
Geno Smith, whatever. You know.
Yeah. Geno Smith, yeah. So, you know, so you pair Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor and go to season like that. So if they do that, then I think you're not talking about a quarterback at 7 at all. Maybe they take a quarterback later as a developmental guy. But, you know, 7's a tricky spot because everyone you talk to, I mean, I from the combine, I feel like Cam Ward is really the guy and he's going to go at the top. So then where does Shedeur Sanders come after that? Maybe he slides down to the Jets. And then you have a decision to make. But to me, if those two are gone, there's nobody else who's really in the conversation in the top 10 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the positions I'm looking at 7 are really defensive tackle. The Jets really let their defensive line slip last year. There was a lot of reasons the Jets weren't good last year. But that's a big one and something we didn't talk about maybe as much. So they really need somebody to play next to Quinnen Williams. So, you know, is that Mason Graham from Michigan? You know, he could be there. Is it, and then the position on offense to me, that's jumping out is tight end and Tyler Warren from Penn State. He's a good blocker, would help their run game. He also, you know, he's kind of that Gronkowski model of tight end that can block and catch. And it gives you another weapon offensively because they're getting thin at wide receiver. I expect, you know, Davante Adams, I expect them to move on from him. I expect them to move on from Alan Lazard. You know, now you're talking about Garrett Wilson and a lot of question marks. If you draft an explosive tight end there at seven, that helps Garrett Wilson. That helps the offense. You know, that was we saw what Brock Bowers did in Vegas last year. I don't think Tyler Warren's going to do that, but he could add a nice piece to the offense. So that, to me, defensive tackle and tight end are two I'm looking at there right now for the Jets.
And in terms of you mentioned free agency, Jets have a lot of free agents themselves. How do you see their free agent strategy playing out? Who are they going to try and retain versus it's just who is it not realistic and they're going to let them
I think when you have a new regime, Laurie, you expect a lot of change. So, right, and these guys are going to want to put their stamp on the team. These are not players that they signed or drafted. So I think there'll be a lot of change. I think DJ Reed will be gone. I think Tyler Conklin will be gone. Jamien Sherwood is an interesting one. He came on last year, played pretty well when CJ Mosley was hurt. I don't know. I don't know what they think of him and what his price is going to be. I imagine Jeff Ulbrich will be trying to sign him in Atlanta. You know, that's the interesting thing right now is that with all the defensive free agents the Jets have, Jeff Ulbrich's in Atlanta and Robert Saleh's in San Francisco, right? So those guys are going to be pushing for some of them. So I could see that. But to me, you know, I don't think any of those guys, Sherwood's the one I think that could be back. The rest of them, I think, will probably walk. I think there's going to be a lot of turnover on this roster during this offseason with a new coach and GM.
One of the other rumors that was out there during the combine, and as we know, this is lying season, so who knows who puts...
Yep.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
These things out there, but there was a... there are rumors of the Giants being interested in trading up to number one overall, potentially to draft a Cam Ward. And it was out there that the Jets were one of those teams that are potentially considering trading up to number one overall. Do you, if they're not able to sign, let's say, a Justin Fields and have that younger quarterback that you could try and build with, could you see the Jets going for that trade up to number one?
I give it a really small chance, Lori, for a few reasons. Number one, you have to really be in love with the player, right? So, like, you have to be convinced that, let's say it's Cam Ward, right? You have to be convinced that Cam Ward is going to be your guy for the next 10 years. This isn't like drafting one or two where you're like, okay, like, the Jets took Zach Wilson, right? And in 2021, and it didn't work. I don't think any of us really go back, though, and go, oh, man, the Jets shouldn't have taken him there. They should have done this, this, or this. There's no good answers, right? But if you're moving up now to get it, that just adds to the burden of that pick better work. Like you, because now you're probably giving up next year's first round pick, right? To move from 7 to 1. Mm-hmm. So you're giving up a lot of future assets. So that's the second reason I don't think they would do this is, you know, when you talk about the Giants going from 3 to 1, well, that's not going to be that costly.
Right.
Like they're going to have to give some picks, but it's not going to be a first round pick next year. Mm-hmm. Moving from 7 to 1, now you're talking.
Yep.
And from the Titans perspective, if they move back to 3, they're getting Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Yep.
Right? Because the Giants are going to move up for a quarterback. The Browns might take one of those guys. So then you have the other one, and who are top players in this draft. You move back to 7, you're not guaranteed to get one of the best players in this draft anymore. So I don't see why the Titans would want to drop back that far unless, you know, the Jets really offered them some insane package and no one else was trying to move up. So I just give it a really small chance. Laura, you can't rule anything out. But I think that would be a really bold move by Darren Mooji in his first year on the job.
How do you envision this new regime handling extensions for young players. Obviously, yeah. Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, both going to be eligible here for extensions. Yep. And Joe Douglas may have had one way to play it. What are you hearing in terms of the new regime?
Not much. They haven't said much in terms of that, or they really dodged the question. So I don't know the answer to that, how they're going to do it. The only, like, if you're trying to read the tea leaves, the Broncos did give Patrick Surtain an extension after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Muji was in Denver. Does he share the same philosophy as George Payton? I don't know. I don't know if he feels that way. He kind of said it was a case by case basis. So, you know, we'll see. But, like, Garrett Wilson's going to be tricky because how do you put a valuation on Garrett Wilson right now? Like, I think he's great. I think he's going to be a really great receiver. He has not made a Pro Bowl, though. As you know, he really hasn't had huge numbers. And you can say, well, you look at the quarterbacks he's played with, or, you know, and Aaron Rodgers and him did not really click. So that makes the valuation to be tough, Lori, because you see these wide receiver contracts are huge. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is about to get paid and it's just going to get higher and higher. Where does he slot in? Is he a top five receiver? Is he a top 10 receiver? Where does his people think he is? Where do the Jets think he is? So I think Sauce is a little easier. Sauce has been all pro. It was his first 2 years. He wasn't this year, but he made all pro first 2 years. I think Sauce is considered one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. So that one might be a little bit easier to do. The Garrett Wilson one is fascinating to me, though.
Yeah. You know, and you can use the excuse and say, who's he had as a quarterback? But, you know, certainly this whole last year with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams just was weird because he looked like a better player even when Wilson was throwing to him. Then he just looked out of sorts with Aaron Rodgers.
He did. It just didn't click. You know, they just did not mesh well. And it's weird because they had some chemistry in training camp that, you know, just shows you training camp, you can't put much stock in what you see in training camp, even though we do every year, we make that mistake. But just didn't mesh very well. I've started going back and watching the games from the season and early in the year, I see it. It's just, you know, not on the same page. I don't think Garrett really loved the way he was being used, how the routes he was running. So just didn't work. But yeah, it makes it tough because to me, like, Garrett is a really, really, really good receiver from what I've seen. But, you know, if you're just looking at numbers, they aren't up there with Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase or these guys that are at the top of the league. I mean, before this season, Lori, you know, I could basically tell you every Garrett Wilson touchdown. I could remember them because there weren't that many of them. You know, he scored more this year, but those first couple years, there weren't a lot of touchdowns. And, you know, he actually had more success when it wasn't Zach Wilson, when it was Mike White or Joe Flacco. These guys, you know, were throwing touchdowns to him. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what this new regime does. I don't have a good feel on how they're going to do this. You know, I would think they'll probably get through free agency and probably the draft before we even see this. I don't think this is going to be something that happens right now in terms of extensions.
All right. Good stuff out of Brian Costello from the New York Post. You should be reading him in the paper and online and following him on social. Kaz, appreciate the time, and we will be following you for free agent coverage.
I'm just appreciative you can slip me in between Zach Braziller appearance. I know he's the St. John's has taken over the station.
It is that time of year. It is the time of year that that we go mad here for Zach Braziller, March Madness. So, anyway.
I did go to the St. John's game while I was at the Combine. They played at Butler on last Wednesday. I went to see St. John's. I did get to see that.
Look, as a sports fan, it is incredible what, you know, I mean, we're talking about football and football is king as a sport in our country, but to see the kind of, you know, if you love sports and New York sports, and I know you do, to see the turnaround in 1 year, what Patino has been able to do, it just does show you the impact of coaching.
Yeah, and it was cool. I mean, I went to the Butler game. I wanted to see Hinkle Fieldhouse. You know, I'd never been there, and Hoosiers. Obviously, I wanted to go there. But then also, like, there was like a buzz. Like, when Patino walked out of the locker room, their student section was chanting at him. And I was like, wow, like, you got to have some clout to be like, you know, like, I remember when I was in school, I remember that was like Bobby Knight, right? Like, right. We all waited for Bobby Knight to walk on the floor. And it was like this, he had this presence, and Patino had it. And it was, so it was interesting to watch that and see, you know, and it was a tough game, but St. John's won in the end, which is kind of the way they've been doing things all year.
Well, you want to talk about culture and changing culture? There it is. That's how you do it from the maestro. Brian Costello, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori.
We'll take a break and be right back.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.